You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be looking at big changes planned for La Villita downtown. The little shop owners do not like them, and we'll hear from the shopkeepers and from City Hall. But first, one of the biggest players in the Eagle Ford Shale play has been playing fast and loose with some of its numbers and how much they pay their landowners for the minerals that they extract. ProPublica reporter Abram Lustgarten covers energy and environment for the investigative journalism nonprofit. Abram, welcome to The Source.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So you have revealed through your investigative reporting that Chesapeake Energy, it's a name familiar to many people who drive around South Texas and they see their tanks and machinery around. They have been doing what?
Well, we looked at upstate Pennsylvania in particular and essentially found that landowners, farmers in the area, had seen a dramatic drop in their royalty payments around January 2013, started looking for the reason why, and found a complex set of deals that Chesapeake had enacted, selling off some of its pipeline subsidiaries to another Wall Street traded company, and getting a large amount of cash for them, paying back that cash through long-term contracts and passing on the expense of those long-term contracts to royalty owners, essentially jacking up their expenses to pay for this infusion of cash that Chesapeake got.
If you are a landowner out there and you have some concerns about whether or not the driller on your property is paying you properly for your minerals, give us a call. If you've got a question, a comment, to 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Chesapeake Energy, that is a name that's been beaten up like a piñata. It's been involved in a lot of headlines, Abram.
Yeah, I mean, Chesapeake, it's the second largest gas driller in the United States, and as you said, it's had its share of problems. It's the subject of SEC and criminal investigations for various historic issues. The company's stock has taken a beating. Its CEO and founder, Aubrey McClendon, was forced out last year amidst a whole set of scandals of his own. And accusations that the company has underpaid or cheated on its royalties are nothing new either. They've paid hundreds of millions of dollars in fines and judgments on the issue. The federal government's collected money and so forth. But what we were looking at seemed more extreme than any of that. We're talking to royalty owners who are losing as much as 94% in my reporting, as much as 98% I've heard since I was doing that reporting of their royalty checks. Essentially, they're not getting paid for the gas drilled on their property. Some of them have even gotten bills by Chesapeake asking them to pay Chesapeake to cover expenses.
When you are a landowner, you have the mineral rights on your land, and then someone shows up and says they want to drill, then don't you normally contract with a third party who comes back around and checks the well to make sure that everything is on the up and up?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it varies greatly from location to location, but typically a drilling company, in this case Chesapeake, will come to you, will sign a lease giving them permission to drill on the land, and then they'll go ahead and do that according to the terms of the contract. And Chesapeake in particular has so many subsidiary companies and is directly involved in almost every aspect of the drilling, whether it's tanking water, transporting chemicals, running the pipelines, doing the hydraulic fracturing. Those are all handled by Chesapeake companies. So they're really the one player that most landowners will deal with.
I know you're looking at, in your report, a fantastic investigative report, at Pennsylvania, but there has been activity in Texas. Just this month, an appeals court in San Antonio upheld a decision in a 2010 case brought by a Fort Worth family that was bilked out of $700,000 in unpaid royalties. That's just one of many instances where Chesapeake was found as the wrongdoer by the courts.
Yeah, I have every reason to believe that that this problem exists elsewhere. I've heard about questionable deals that I did not focus on enough to confirm in the Haynesville play in Louisiana, certainly in parts of Texas, in Oklahoma. There's court cases in each of those places, in addition to the ones you mentioned, But for the sake of trying to understand the details of the financial transactions, we did pick one example that we could go into as deeply as possible, just because there's so many variations between sites, between people's properties, between states, and so on.
Yeah, so go into that. What happened?
Well, we started with one farmer in particular, a man named Joe Drake, who lives in northern Pennsylvania, who saw his royalty checks drop from about $5,500 a month to about $500 a month. And basically, we're trying to figure out why. What we found is at the end of 2012, Chesapeake sold the pipeline that ran to Joe Drake's farm to a company called Access Midstream Partners. Chesapeake actually sold almost all of its gathering pipelines, the small pipelines that connect to individual landowners' properties, sold most of them to this company, Access Midstream Partners. In exchange, Access paid them a large premium. There were three deals worth about $5 billion in total. By both companies' accounts, Chesapeake was paid at least $1 to $1.5 billion more than those pipelines were worth. And so the question was why. And what we saw was that Chesapeake signed a series of contracts, and there's different contracts for every area, including in Texas, essentially promising to use the pipelines that are now owned by Access Midstream and to pay a premium to use them. All sorts of favorable deals. They're committed to using them for the next decade, two decades in some places. And the very high expenses of using those pipelines are being passed on to landowners. So it basically appears to be a loan where Access Midstream gave Chesapeake a whole bunch of money up front. Chesapeake is repaying Access Midstream through high fees over a long period of time, and it's passing on those financing fees, if you will, to individual landowners who are seeing that money taken out of their royalty checks.
Well, these landowners, you know, they were getting so much money, and then suddenly it all drops off, and they don't ask questions or bring in a third party to take a look around?
Well, they have, and you know, every landowner is different. The ones I was talking to, they've hired attorneys, they have accountants working on their case. You know, the language in each of their contracts varies, and some of it, you know, could have been a little bit more sophisticated or a little bit more protective than it wound up being. But most of the landowners that I talk to have a clause that prohibits them from suing. They can't join a class action suit or file suit on their own, so they are forced to go into an arbitration process, which is extremely costly. Their direct queries to the company hasn't gotten them any answers, and their lawyers are in a long, drawn-out process of trying to understand essentially the same things that I was trying to understand.
How well is Chesapeake taking care of the land and the wells? I mean, there are different ways that you can operate a well, and you could try and get as much gas out of it as fast as possible, but then you could basically you lose a lot. If you just take your time, though, you get a longer life time on the well, and you get more of the gas that's underneath. So if you're looking for short-term gains at long-term cost, you know, it's not good for the landowner, but it's good for the well, good for the oil company.
Sure, that's true, and it varies from place to place and company to company. You know, we're seeing very steep declines in production in the Marcellus Shale, for example, wells that are producing a whole lot for Chesapeake right after they're tapped, and not so much, or at least significantly less, you know, 6 months later. In our reporting, however, we really tried to zero that out mathematically in our calculations so that we were comparing apples to apples. So, you know, so the payment declines that we saw were on a per 1,000 cubic feet of gas basis and entirely separate from, you know, from any kind of decline in the amount of gas being produced.
So what's happening? We're seeing that Chesapeake has not paying the royalties that the landowners deserve or should have earned. What happens now?
Well, that's going to depend on each individual landowner to act against the company. I know there's a couple class action lawsuits that are being put together in Pennsylvania with landowners who can participate. Joe Drake, the subject of my story, can't participate. I know there's a number of other state suits in other states, like you mentioned, several that I'm following in Texas, Fort Worth area. And in Pennsylvania, the governor, Tom Corbett, has called for an attorney general's investigation into Chesapeake's practices where it comes to royalties. And I believe the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management, has also had several actions, investigations into Chesapeake over the last 12 months or so, all disputing the company's claims about the expenses that they're deducting from their royalty payments.
So this isn't just straight up theft?
Well, that's a question for for somebody in law enforcement or attorney general's office to make. From a contractual standpoint, it appears to be more akin to an aggressive interpretation of the language and really an argument over semantics, something that a court will have to have to look at closely. From a financial perspective, I think there's real questions to be asked about whether Chesapeake has more debt than it's been reporting to its shareholders. There's all sorts of regulations for what a company like Chesapeake has to report to the Securities and Exchange Commission. And there's enough questions, I think it's possible at least, that the company has been misrepresenting its financial condition to both its shareholders and to Wall Street.
And they're saying that the shareholders may have been systematically underpaid as well.
Yes, potentially. Either if the company's reserves or the amount of its revenues and profits has been misstated, perhaps overstated, and also if the company is carrying more debt than it's reported on its balance sheet as debt, then shareholders, for example, wouldn't have a clear picture of how serious a condition Chesapeake Energy is in when they make their investments.
So are the walls closing in on that corporate office for Chesapeake Energy, or is this just a minor inconvenience for them?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a minor inconvenience, but I'm not there in their offices to tell you how much pressure is coming down on the company. This is the sort of thing I think it's going to take, a couple more weeks at a minimum to see what kind of, resonance there is after my investigation. And also, as I mentioned, there's other investigations and other, really questionable behavior that the company is mixed up in. So, Chesapeake Energy's, facing a whole lot of critique and criticism and possibly, some serious liabilities going forward.
What advice do you have for anyone who is a landowner with their mineral rights, with someone who is drilling on their land, pulling out oil or natural gas? How do they make sure that they're not being ripped off?
Well, one consistent issue that came up again and again, and I read many hundreds of people's leases, is to take a careful approach in signing your lease to allow Chesapeake Energy or any other company to come drill on your property, investing in not just a lawyer to review those contracts, but a lawyer who has a sophisticated level of understanding in oil and gas matters and has some experience. So a lot of the problems go back to a degree of naivety on the part of landowners when they first signed their contract. But I've seen good contracts, and they're not a fix-all either. So, being diligent, understanding your royalty statements, asking questions, and noting discrepancies before too much time goes by and too much money.
Abram from ProPublica, thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after this NPR news break.